This is Doug Miller. Has God cast away his people, Israel? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue. We are back one more time with the Word of God in hand, and we are beginning a study of the prophet Zechariah. This is the next to the last book of the Old Testament. I think you will find it very profitable. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Zechariah. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support of the Lord's people. I have said it many times. I will continue to say it. Please pray for Dialogue. I think that none of us has really any idea the spiritual darkness that is ranged against us. And we are surrounded by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it is a fight. And believe me, it can get very difficult at times. And the only weapon that we have against this is the prayers of the saints. Therefore, pray for Dialogue and tell others to listen in as well. We would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you would like to email, that's fine, too. Be delighted to respond to you in that way, or just to read what you have to say, for that matter. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull our webpage down and look at it and read about Dialogue Ministries and so on and so forth, our webpage is at Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Okay, dialogueministries.org. And finally, if you want to call and talk to me, be glad to talk to you. Our phone number here is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording and just leave a message and I'll get back with you. All right. I said at the outset of the broadcast, has God cast away Israel? That is an important question, and in fact, it is a critical question. I'm sure you all know that guys like me are probably, we are very much under the gun, because there are a lot of people out there, Christians, believe it or not, many of them, at least I have to, you know, they say they are. They give a good account of the gospel. I have to accept these as believers, but I am telling you that it is possible to be a believer and yet be in error, and either I'm in error or they are. Because these, what we call replacement theologians or supersessionists, believe that the nation, the physical nation of Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those that were called out of Egypt and left with Moses and went into the land and that gave birth eventually to our Lord Jesus Christ and were eventually scattered into all the nations. There are those that teach that because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah, God is finished with Israel. Now, if God is finished with Israel, then I am sorely and sadly mistaken. I don't believe that I am, however, and I don't care who says the other. I'll have to stick to my guns on this one. And I just want to read to you, before we get into Zechariah, I want to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 33, and then I want to go back and pick up a couple of verses in the New Testament in Romans 11, verses 1 and 2. But right now, let's pick this up in Jeremiah 33:14. And once again, we are just doing this preliminary to and as a way of laying some foundation for our study of Zechariah. Verse 14, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah." Now notice what Jeremiah says. This is yet, from his perspective, a future event. A future event. It hasn't happened yet. The days come. "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David." Now there is, of course, Zechariah, our prophet Zechariah, that we are going to be looking at, makes a reference in the 6th chapter of Zechariah, verse 12, to this branch of righteousness. "I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Yahweh Tzidkenu." This passage is critically important. It is very important. And for all of you out there who believe that this word of God is to be taken literally, I think this is dispositive of the case. For anyone who says, well, the Lord Jesus did come. Back in 33 A.D., he was crucified. Then look at verse 16 and tell me this. Was Judah saved at the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Was Jerusalem, did she dwell in safety? I vow not. And therefore, I can only say that this is absolutely something that has not yet happened. And therefore, and incidentally, just hold your place there, and let's look at Jeremiah 23. Just turn back a few pages. "Behold, the days come." I'm reading from verse 5. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." There we have it again. "And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Yahweh Tzidkenu." Same name that we have attached to Jerusalem back here in verse 30 or chapter 33. I think that is very interesting. In fact, we could have entire messages on that. The fact that Jerusalem is given the name of the Lord and is called by the same name, this branch of righteousness. What did we have in both of those passages? We not only have this term, the Lord our righteousness, one applied to Messiah, the other applied to Jerusalem, but we have Israel being saved, and we have Judah dwelling safely. Now, this, friends, once again, if you take this word literally, you cannot do anything other than bow the knee and say it has not yet happened, but it will happen. Let's go on. Let's read on in some of Jeremiah here. In verse 17, thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. Now, I don't know, I suppose, if I were a replacement theologian, which I am not, but if I did, I suppose I would take this one and say, well, that has to be, have some spiritual, symbolic, metaphorical significance, because, in fact, is a man seated on the throne of the house of Israel, a man in the line of David right now? No, I think we could agree that he is not. I think we could agree that there are not burnt offerings going up and meat offerings before the Lord continually right now. In fact, there is no sacrifice going on at all now. And therefore, if, once again, I were a replacement theologian, I would probably say, there you are. It's all symbolic, and that's how we have to treat this, because it cannot be taken literally. Well, it can be taken literally, because I believe that this very clearly looks forward to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thousand-year reign. And I believe that when we read this whole passage, we have to see it in that context. What has God been talking about? He is talking about something that is going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened yet. Now let's go on here. And incidentally, because it hasn't happened yet, I believe that this business of a man in the line of David sitting on the throne and the offerings being offered up by the Levites, that has to be seen as occurring during the millennial reign, because that is what we're talking about here. That's the context. And as my friend M.W. Gibbs used to say, a text without a context is a pretext. Let's read on verse 19 here. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord. Listen to this now. If ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Now, once again, if I were a replacement theologian, I would make this something spiritual, something metaphorical, and I would say, well, the multitude, the seed of the Christ, and the Levites, this is obviously the Christian church. Well, if it's so obvious, why don't I realize it? If it's so obvious, then why does it occur in the context that it occurs in? Let's read on. Moreover, verse 23, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus, now let's just hold it there. Who are these two families that Jeremiah is talking about here? The two families are Israel and Judah. The 10 northern tribes that went into captivity, the 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that stayed loyal to the house of David. Those are the two families. Look at this. That there are those who have spoken, saying, the Lord hath chosen, he has cast them off. I want you to remember those words, cast them off. We'll come back to these in just a minute. What are the replacement theologians saying and the supersessionists? This is exactly what they're saying, that Israel has been cast off. They despised the Christ. They would not receive Jesus as their Savior, according to these individuals, and therefore God is through with them. Oh, no. Let's read on here. It goes on here and says, thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. They have, haven't they? They are, many of them. I could name the denominations if I wanted to, but I'll try to avoid it. But there are many major denominations out there right now, even as I speak. And they absolutely hate and despise the nation of Israel that exists right now. They want to defund them. They want to do everything to try to get them out of there. And they are lining up with the Palestinians against Israel. Well, I want to tell you something. The guy you hear talking to you right now is not lining up with anyone against Israel. And I'll have to see a lot more from this word than anything I've ever seen before I ever turn against Israel. And I would suggest that any of you who are thinking of turning against Israel or have, I would suggest you remember what God said. I will curse them that curse thee, and I will bless them that bless thee. That is an eternal, everlasting ordinance. It will never change. Let's read on here. The Lord says through Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, verse 25, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. Now, I don't know how much clearer God needs to make it than that. I would say that's about as plain as he could make it, and yet I know there are those who don't see it. But I do. And it is important for us to realize this as we take up our study of Zechariah. Now, I want to read these two verses in Romans 11, 1 and 2, once again, just to see what Paul says in the New Testament. He begins with a question. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away people, his people, which he foreknew. Now this is, I think, as clear once again as God could make it. What people is Paul talking about here? He is obviously talking about the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's obviously who he's talking about. Has God cast them away? Well, once again, if I were a supersessionist, a replacement theologian, I would say, well, no, there are some Jews that are being saved, yes, but they're being saved the same way anyone else is being saved, just as Paul was, and if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has not cast them away. Oh, no, I believe you've got a real problem here. I want you to go on in Romans 11 down to verse 25. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Now, here you are, Paul talking to a bunch of Gentiles. I would not have you be ignorant. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, friends, I don't know how much clearer God could make it than what we have just read, what we've just seen here. The nation of Israel, these are the Lord's people, his earthly people. God has given them promises that are unconditional. By that, I mean there is no, if you do this, I will do that. There's none of that to it. You go back and read the promises in Genesis that God gave to Abraham, and you will see very clearly that these are unconditional promises. That land over there belongs to them, and they will be brought back, and they will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a nation. That is the remnant of them that are saved. and who have followed the Lord, but there'll only be a remnant. But nevertheless, all of those, the true Israel, are going to be saved. And these are not Gentiles, and this is not the church we are talking about. Now, with that in mind, I realize we're almost out of time, but let's think about Zechariah again. Let's just go back and pick it up. And I read verses 1, 2, and 3 last time. And let me tell you why I have gone to such length to lay this foundation. Listen to me carefully. Friends, I pass this way but once. All prophecy and all miracles in this Bible center in on and are about and have something to do with the nation of Israel. Now, if you are one of these that say, well, I've seen plenty of miracles, fine, that's good. I have never personally seen what I would call a miracle, where actually you have a suspension of natural laws, turning water into wine, for example. I've never seen that, but I can tell you this, that in the Bible, all miracles are for the benefit of and are aimed at the nation of Israel. All prophecy, the foretelling of events, things that haven't happened yet that are going on off in the future somewhere, all prophecy has something to do and really is basically about the nation of Israel. Now, if you say, well, hey, I can point you prophecies to, you know, that the prophets wrote having to do with Moab and, you know, Assyria and Egypt, and I can just go down the list and all, you know, on and on it goes. And, hey, how about the New Testament? Look at Paul's what Paul said about the rapturing of the church in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. And look at what we have in the book of Revelation. Certainly these are aimed right at some of these Gentile. No, they are aimed right at Israel, even though they all, or many of them at least, may mention Gentiles and may involve Gentiles. It is still about Israel. Now, I don't have time to develop this today, but I will take it up again next time and go into it farther. But once again, it's about Israel. For example, if you read the Old Testament prophecies about Moab, Assyria, Egypt, any of the other Gentile nations, Gog and Magog, and all of these, it is all about Israel, really. Because these are nations that, in one way or another, enemies of Israel, persecuting Israel, or even helping Israel. But it's still about Israel. If you go into the New Testament and look at the prophecies concerning the rapturing of the church, this is nevertheless about Israel, because after the church is gone, what will God do? He will turn back to deal with Israel. Now, that's all we'll have time for right now. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.